Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Manappuram Finance Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Rati Pandit from Nirmal Bang. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you, Nirav. A very good evening to everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, we welcome you all to the Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Manappuram Finance Limited. We are pleased to host the senior management of the company, represented by Mr. VP Nandakumar, MD and CEO, Dr. Sumitha Nandan, Executive Director, Ms. Bindu A. L., CFO, Mr. B. N. Ravindra Babu, MD of Asirvad Microfinance Limited, Mr. Rajesh Namboodiripad, CFO of Asirvad Microfinance Limited, Mr. Basavaraj Shetty, Senior VP and Head IR of Asirvad Microfinance Limited, Mr. Kamal Parmar, Head Vehicle and Equipment Finance, Mr. Suveen Pies, CEO of Manappuram Home Finance, Mr. Robin Karuvely, CFO, Manappuram Home Finance. I now hand over the call to MD Sir, Mr. VP Nandakumar, for his opening remark, post which we can have the floor open for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me immense pleasure to welcome you all to the conference call to discuss the third quarter FY24 financials. As you know, amidst a challenging geopolitical situation, India is continuing to be a high-growth trajectory. The just-announced interim budget has also exuded optimism about the future prospects of the Indian economy, promising that the country is well on its way to become a developed nation by 2047. It is in this backdrop that I present our Q3 financial results. A balanced and prudent growth strategy, which I have been reiterating for many quarters, is now in full swing. While the NBFC sector as a whole has grown at a CAGR of 12% in the past five years, our growth has been around 19%. Notably, these growth rates outpace the banking sector, reflecting the strong traction achieved by NBFCs. This quarter, we achieved good growth in both AUM and profitability. I am happy to share that we have recorded a net profit of 575 crores, which is an improvement of 46% year-on-year, driven primarily by the profitability in gold loans and microfinance business. Gold loan AUM sequentially flat, however, registered 2.6% sequential profit growth. Gold loan AUM stood at 20,758 crore, an improvement of 11.5% over the year-ago quarter. While standalone AUM of the entity at 27,407 crore grew by 23% year-on-year, the consolidated AUM reached at 40,385 crore, representing an increase of 27% over the year-ago quarter. We posted an ROA of around 5.2% for the quarter, significantly higher than the industry average. The brisk pace of credit growth in NBFC space, even outpacing banks, owes to the fact that our financial market gives a lot of headroom for a large number of players to coexist. Companies, microfinance subsidiary Ashirvad has posted an AUM of 11,563 crore, showing a growth of 34% year on year and a profit of 127 crore in Q3 with a growth of 80% year on year. The share of microfinance in the overall profit pie is set to go up in the days to come. We continue to post an excellent growth in vehicle finance business, recording 70% increase year on year with an AUM of 3,597 crore while maintaining tight credit discipline. The home loans with an AUM of 1,415 crore registering 41% increase over the corresponding quarter in FY23. I am also pleased to share that our fee-based business is growing nicely. We reported 28 crores profit from our fee-based business and see excellent prospects for its growth. I am pleased to inform that the Board of Directors declared a dividend of 90 paise, another increase of 5 paise this quarter, and remain confident of achieving both top line and bottom line growth while maintaining adequate liquidity. For a more comprehensive review of our financial performance, I hand the floor to our CFO, Ms. Bidwell.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for joining us today. As we are aware,
you are sounding a little distant.
Is it okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
As you are aware of, Ashirvad Microfinance filed DRHP on October 5th, 2023. We are not in a position to give more numbers for Ashirvad except those which are in public domain related to results. We request our participants to restrict their questions on Ashirvad to published numbers. Coming to the operational overview, our consolidated AUM for Q3 FY24 was ₹40,385 crore, representing 3.7% sequential growth and 26.7% YOY growth. Consolidated profit after tax was ₹575 crore, which was up by 2.6% Q-on-Q and 46% YOY growth. ROE on a consolidated basis was 21.2% and ROA was 5.2% for the quarter. Our leverage is currently only 2.9 times. Standalone GNPA at 1.99% versus 1.56% during the previous quarter. Cash and cash equivalents on hand on a consolidated basis was ₹3,076 crore and undrawn bank line was ₹7,138 crore. CP exposure is nil and the standalone borrowing cost has gone up by 19 basis points. On the gold loan business, which constitutes 51.4% of consolidated AUM, whereas the remaining 48.6% comprises microfinance, vehicle, housing and MSME finance. Gold loan AUM consolidated ₹20,758 crore, a stable Q-on-Q and up by 11.5% YOY. During the quarter, we were able to add 4.03 lakh new customers, average LTV at 61%, online book at 56%. Our standalone profit after tax was ₹428 crore, up by 2.1% sequentially and up by 34.7% YOY. Coming to microfinance business, Ashirvad micro AUM stands at ₹11,563 crore, including gold loan AUM of ₹828 crore, up by 6% Q-on-Q and by 34% YOY. PAT for MFI business has increased to ₹127 crore, in Q3 FY24 versus 118 crore in Q2 FY24. And for 9 months, the profit increased to Rs. 356 crore versus 119 crore last year. Net NPA stands at 1.34%. Capital adequacy at 23.16% for Asirvad. Vehicle finance, we reported an AUM of Rs. 3,597 crore, which is up by 14.5% Q on Q and up by 70% YOY. Collection efficiency for the quarter was 98% and GNPA at 2.6%. Home loan business, total AUM at Rs. 1,415 crore, which is up by 8.5% Q on Q and up by 40.9% YOY. And reported a profit of Rs. 5.1 crore during the quarter. Collection efficiency at 96% and GNPA at 2.67%. MSME and allied businesses, the total AUM Rs. 2,857 crore, with a disbursement of Rs. 460 crore during the quarter. Collection efficiency at 102% and GNPA at 1.5% excluding digital personal loan. If we include digital personal loan, it is around 2.3%. Our on-lending AUM stands at Rs. 1,022 crore and ROA for on-lending business is 5% for the quarter. The recent RBI circular to raise risk weight on consumer credit exposure of NBFC lending does not apply to gold loan, vehicle finance, housing and microfinance. Hence, it has not much impact on our balance sheet. Nonetheless, banks lending to NBFCs raised their risk weight to the extent of 25%, which resulted in a sequential increase in the cost of borrowing by 19 basis points. Our capital position is strong and the CRAR at 30.7% for the standalone entity. The consolidated net worth at 11,063 crore and the book value at Rs. 130.70. Thank you. We can now go for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of from Piran from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, hi team. Congrats on the quarter. Sorry, I dialed in a bit late, but I heard something that 28 crore profit from fee-based businesses. Can you please elaborate?
Okay. This is through our subsidiary, Manapuram Insurance Brokers Limited.
So you're not very clear.
Okay. So, this broking subsidiary, insurance broking subsidiary, Manapuram Insurance Brokers. So now, because broking, etc., insurance companies can pay more because of the liberalized commission dispensation by the regulator. So we are getting a higher payout from them. That is the reason for the 28 crores profit from insurance broking business.
Okay, so what was it, say QOQ or YOY, if you can give us a sense? And this is a 28 crore profit for the quarter or for 9 months?
For quarter.
Okay, okay. And what was it, say, last quarter or a year ago?
Last quarter was 17 crore.
Okay. And Bindu, the second question for you, you mentioned the 19 basis increase in cost of bank borrowings. So the full effect has played out in 3Q or should we expect something in 4Q also from this risk weight guideline?
Yeah, so we have to expect a similar increase in Q4 also. Because the circular came mid of November and that entire rollover has not taken place. But the initial reaction mellowed down now, and we are having a lot of undrawn lines. So we hope, I think, we will be able to contain the increase.
Got it. Got it. Fair enough. Okay, that's it from my end. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, and good evening, everyone. So first thing on gold loan, if you look at the gold loan yields that we report, I think in the last two quarters each, it has gone up by 50 basis points. And just trying to understand, understandably, second, third quarter are weak quarters for gold loan growth, but what is it that we are doing which is leading this kind of an increase in yields in gold loans? And maybe a related question, I mean, with this gold loan yields now going up, is it then fair to assume that what we keep sharing in the last few calls, that the competitive intensity from banks is coming down, is indeed playing out?
See, we are catering to the requirements of the small ticket borrowers primarily, because our average ticket size remains around 50,000, and average tenure around 3 months. While it remains a fact, what is most important is our availability and our quick service, turnaround service, that is most important. So, as it is the case, the so whatever is the cost increase in borrowing, that we are passing on to these gold loan customers. So the competition always remains the fact of many companies have come, that this also is expected to increase because the large chunk of the business still remains with the unincorporated bodies. So the data is not available, but it is the general impression that they do more than two-thirds of the total business. So it will get translated into the organized sector. So at this rate, so we hope we'll be able to maintain the business. And however, even though one quarter remained flat, I hope for to reaching our target of 8% to 10% growth is still possible.
Got it. Got it. So, so essentially what you said, 8% to 10% still possible, 8% to 10% growth in gold loans still possible, essentially implies that after two quarters of weak loan growth, we are now kind of looking at a good gold loan growth coming in the last quarter of the fiscal.
Yeah, there is a season. During that season, we used to get growth. By that, with that growth, we may be able to maintain that annually.
Got it. So the other thing I wanted to understand on the microfinance side, I mean, during the opening remarks, Bindu ma'am said that we can restrict the questions to the published information, given that we're in the process of IPO. But just wanted to understand that during this quarter, looking at other MFI peers who've reported, they all highlighted impact from Tamil Nadu floods. I think for you, Tamil Nadu is close to 40, 14, 14% of your AUM mix. Likewise, in Punjab and Haryana, you have close to 100 branches, and we've been hearing that there are some problems which are brewing in Punjab. Can you share, I mean, what is it that you are seeing, I mean, in Punjab and Haryana, and what was your experience like in Tamil Nadu? And is that the reason which kind of led to elevated credit costs in the microfinance business during this quarter?
Tamil Nadu, because of the cyclonic effect and other effects, natural fury, et cetera, many people lost their livelihood temporarily, and that is affecting, that has affected to some extent. And in Punjab, Rajasthan, Haryana, etc., there are some problems which the industry in generally is affected. But in these places, our exposure is not that high.
I will not do,
we have 14%.
Yeah. Okay. And sir, just one last data keeping question for the window man. Ma'am, can you just share, I mean, some of these data points like you typically share in each earnings call? What were the gold loan disbursements? What was the gold amount which was auctioned? And lastly, the auction surplus as on December?
Yeah. So, auction during the quarter, 124 crores. And auction surplus?
23. It is reduced to the level of 23.5 crore level.
Got it. This is useful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mona Khetan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So firstly, I wanted to understand this rise in NPAs across many of your portfolios, including home loans or MSME book. You know, could you give some color on these? What has led to the sharp rise across, even vehicle for that matter? These books are growing very fast and yet the NPAs on the rise on a sequential basis.
Kamal?
Yeah, good evening. Our NPA for quarter three was stood at 2.6 against 2.5% last quarter. And in fact, it was higher in the first quarter. It was at 2.9. So we have actually brought it down and we are holding it stable.
Yeah, on the gold loan business, the NPA. During the quarter, the gold loan NPA has gone up, but as you are aware, the credit cost is negligible from that portfolio. We were getting requests from the borrowers to delay the auction for few of the customers, and that is the reason it has gone up. And the gold price is also in support, and we are honoring the request of the borrowers. So that is the reason it has gone up. But for all other portfolio, like MSME, it is 1.5%. That is also the similar level. Where we have seen the collection issues only in the case of digital personal loan, where we again, like, we are restricting the underwriting norms. But on the MSME book, the whole book, we have seen a 1.5% GNP only. So overall credit quality improved. Gold loan, though it has gone up, we are not expecting any credit cost out of that.
And how about the home loan book? The NPAs are higher by about 90 bits during the quarter.
Yeah.
So it is home loans. We have around 200 properties which are up for sale, which were taken over through SARFAESI, and all the efforts are on to sell it, which will bring down the NPA. So we are expecting a good improvement during this quarter, last quarter.
Okay. And on the MFI book as well, while your NPA has declined, if I look at the credit cost, they remain extremely high. So at over 4% or thereabouts. So how were the write-offs in this quarter versus how much were it last quarter?
Yeah, so as discussed, we have seen stress in some of the states and it is delay in collection. So we did a ARC of 200 crore and we did the write-off to that extent.
Sorry, 200 crore?
200 crore, out of which 100 crore we have written off.
Okay, and how much was it last quarter?
Last quarter, the write-off 60 crore.
Okay, and just finally, when I look at the growth on a consolidated basis, you know, the non-gold portfolios are growing very fast and are about to be or cross 50% of the AUM, you know, at this stage. So what's the thought process on the mix? Could this non-gold share continue to rise?
Yeah.
Or will growth in a non-gold portfolio slow down after a point, you know, once it reaches 50%? Just want to get that perspective. Thank you.
See, in the standalone book, still gold loan portfolio will not come down that easily. So this is because of the subsidiaries. Subsidiaries, if you take the Ashirwad, we plan to raise capital from outside for the next phase of growth. Similarly, we do in other subsidiary home finance also going forward. So in the standalone book, the gold loan will remain more than 50% for a longer time.
Got it. So basically, from a consolidated perspective, the share may continue to rise for the non-gold book even beyond the 50%.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from Rulano Shweta Daptardar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, team, for the opportunity. Ma'am, question for you. So you did mention that even in the next quarter, we'll see a similar spike in cost of funds. But then be it standalone or console liability mix, why is our term loan borrowings rising each quarter? And you of course did mention, you know, you're trying to contain that. But how do you see or perceive this liability mix changing going forward? And if you could also highlight, you know, the high cost borrowings which will come for repricing going forward. Thank you. And I have other couple of questions as well.
Yeah, so if you see, we had the dollar bond of around 2,000 crore, which we redeemed. So to maintain the liability tenure, we are taking the term loans. And at the same time, banks also now prefer term loans than working capital. And the CP exposure is nil. So that is the reason our term loan exposure is going up. This will help us to maintain the liability tenor because in our standalone book also we are increasing the non-gold businesses where the life of the loan is slightly higher. So that will help us to maintain a ALM mix in a proper manner. And on the cost, we were expecting a reversal in Q3 or at least a stable position, but by that time the new circular had some impact. Slowly we are able to reduce the impact, at 60% of the book there will be rollover or reset. That is the reason we are expecting a 15 to 20 basis points increase in the next quarter.
Okay. That's a fair point. Secondly, so sir did mention that you know this cost price spike, we are transmitting it through higher yields, and we also saw yields rising for gold loans. But then I wanted to know, sir, if our gold loan yields are rising, and we did admit to the fact that competition persists, especially on the gold loan side. And if I look at the gold loan mix rises, so, you know, our AUM per branch has remained steady. Then tonnage is slightly lower. Number of borrower count, I understand, because few people open the accounts, equal number of people even close. So I'm not arguing that. But going forward, then, if this is the scenario and our yields are rising, tonnage slightly lower, then how confident we are, or what are the levers to this 8 to 10% growth, which is looking healthy for gold on the gold loan side?
See, the gold tonnage is decreasing because of the price increase. In order to maintain the same AUM, the lower term width is required. That is the reason. So in the reverse scenario of the gold price going down, the tonnage will go up. And AEM will remain for maintaining at that level itself, the tonnage will go up. That's the usual scenario. And regarding the confidence about 8 to 10% growth, I mentioned about the seasons also. Usually some quarters it grows, some quarters it remains flat, etc. This is usual. So this, it has got some seasonal impact. Why we are confident is that also I mentioned, because our average ticket size is lower at around 50,000. Our average tenure is around 3 months. So what is most important here is how quickly you can serve the customer, how fast he can go, because he doesn't wish his day lost. So he goes to such customers who are borrowing smaller amounts, small tickets, etc. They prefer to go to places where quick service is available. So because of our technology, online gold loan and doorstep gold loan, etc., we are able to extend services to the satisfaction of our customers, where they will not lose the day. So that gives us the confidence, and our new customer acquisition remain at a steady level of 5,000 to 5,000 new customers every day.
Understood, sir. Thank you for the elaborate answer. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Noel Gonzalez from SBI. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Good evening, ma'am. Ma'am was mentioning regarding the marginal hike in the gross NPA due to delayed auctions and also the prices of gold being higher. Is it likely to continue in the present quarter also? That is my first question. My second question is regarding, sir was mentioning that the critical aspect in any gold loan company is how quickly you can deliver the gold loan. So what would be your turnaround time and how quick would be the service if you have an average time to speak?
So the average time we take for a new customer is around 15 to 20 minutes, but the existing customers, it will be much lower because we have the KYC and all that requirements already in the system. So our efforts are to reduce that time. That's why we have pioneered in the past in the introduction of online gold loan, doorstep gold loan, etc. Our efforts will continue in digitalizing all these. We will definitely help in a better customer service.
Yeah. Gold loan NPA is a temporary issue only. So we are given extended time to these borrowers, and we will be able to reduce before the disbursement.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. And all the best for the coming days.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gao from Swanfield. Please go ahead.
Hey, ma'am. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Just two quick questions. Firstly, on the margin side.
Sorry,
of course,
your voice is not coming clear. Can you speak through the handset, please?
Yeah, am I audible now?
So we can hear you, but then your voice is breaking a little bit.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so firstly on margins. So cost of fund continued to rise 15, 20 basis points. So should we expect margins to, hold flat or still increase from here? Or, should we expect some margin decline because of the cost of funds? Actually, should we still expect our loan yield to go up?
On the cost of borrowing, we have seen an increase on account of the new circular. At the same time, if you see, we have seen a 48 basis points increase in the gold loan yield. So the attempt is to maintain the spread as much as possible. So that is the reason last two quarters, if you see, there is an increase in gold loan yield.
Thanks. Yeah, and the second one is on the Asheva Microfinance. You know, can you at least, you know, quantitatively tell us in terms of the trend, you know, is the situation on the ground stabilizing, getting better, or it's still pretty difficult, you know, maybe going into this quarter itself?
So it is not very different, but some of the cyclical impacts will be the temporary delays, etc. Beyond which, kindly excuse us for further details.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on good performance. A few questions from my side. Bindu ma'am, what was the stage 2 for the MFI, for the Asheerwad MFI as of December? And can you also share the stage 2 as of September?
So that we cannot.
It can't be. Okay, and this, if possible, any headway in terms of Asheerwad IPO not getting further delayed? I mean, what is the timeline for the IPO that we have right now?
So we hope there won't be much delay. That is the indication we get through our bankers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And sir, in terms of gold loan business, new customer addition, can you tell us the number of new customer added in this quarter and even in the previous quarter?
So on a day, we are getting around on a normal day we are getting around 5,000 to 5,500 new customers.
So this quarter we added 4 lakh new customers.
Yeah, okay.
4 lakh to 6,000. There is no much difference. Over the last 5 years, it remains more or less the same, except this pandemic.
So, sir, while we have been adding a steady number of new customers, we also see customers closing or going away, and which is why the net customer base is not growing for us. It has been pretty steady. So, in a flattish customer base trend, how do we get 18% growth if the gold price does not increase from here?
What I told is not 18%, 8 to 10%. So year on YOY growth is 11%. So there will be some quarters there is growth, good growth. There is some quarters that there may not be any growth, etc. So we remain optimistic about that. We hope usually some quarters are good. We hope last quarter would be good.
Okay. Just last question from my side. Have you raised gold loan product rates across LTV and the ticket size bands in the last 4 months?
The LTV is decided on the basis of the price. So we have a formula to decide, which has been the formula being used by the Association of Gold Loan Company. So within the regulatory guidelines. Now the gold price are remaining steady. Regarding the interest rate, we have not increased that. Small increase when there is an upward movement in the borrowing cost. To that extent,
okay.
Generally we increase that.
Understood. So the increase in the net yield we see for the portfolio, it's essentially because of the shift in customer mix towards low ticket and high yielding customers.
Right.
Got it. Thank you so much for answering my questions and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kushan Parekh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So I had questions around two sets. One is yields. On the yields part, just wanted to understand, I mean, since we've been increasing gold loan yields for a couple of quarters now, and we expect the cost of fund to increase as well next quarter, will we see another increase in gold loan yields going forward? And also wanted to understand from you if that has any impact on the growth of the gold loan portfolio. My second question was on the Asirvad MFI yields. Even there, we're consistently seeing the yields increasing. Even this quarter, AUM growth was about 6% QOQ, and the revenue growth has been about 11% QOQ. Peers, a couple of peers have in fact reduced their rates in this quarter. So just wanted to understand what are the yields that we are charging, how are they compared to the market, and will we also have to come up with such a reduction going forward? Thirdly, if you could take one more question was, what would be, I mean, if you could provide some guidance around the credit cost of Asirvad MFI business going forward. I mean, given the situation in the various states, will the elevated credit cost persist going forward?
So about loan yield, if the borrowing cost increases, that may be passed on to maintain the NIM. The net interest margin we wish to protect that. And regarding the impact on the growth of the portfolio, I hope may not, because as this is a short term, they don't look at even if there is an increase in if there is a minor increase. So what they look at is the quick service which we are able to give. So we don't expect that to dampen our objective growth. About microfinance, the pricing, we have a pricing model based on various parameters. So we continue with that pricing formula, and we don't intend to change. Regarding the credit cost, we have some limitations, etc. Whatever is can be shared, it has been already shared.
Understood. So then, if you could just give any indication on the MFI credit cost as to if the situation from a collections point of view in the problem states has improved in the January month or it has persisted as in January as well.
So, in these problem states of Bihar, Rajasthan, etc., the collection has not improved much. We are also shifting to weekly collection mode, etc., employing more people from the locality, and we are trying to improve that. The efforts are on, and we hope the results will come.
Understood. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jigar from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So just wanted to know the past option circular status, which is restricting our branch expansion in gold loans. Any headway on that? How much is the outstanding now? And second, we are seeing even in the standalone business, the non-gold business is growing very rapidly. But our PCR on the standalone business remains fairly low. So do we intend to increase PCR on the standalone business, given that more and more shift is going to happen towards the non-gold side in those businesses? Yeah.
See, our surplus in auction was around 48 crores. Now that has been brought down to 22 crores. We hope it will come down by 1 or 2 crores. And we have been in touch with the regulators, and we are submitting the application for new branches. We hope we'll be able to get permission for that. Then your second question is about the rapid increase in non-gold, etc. Non-gold, our performance in general is improving. In the standalone portfolio, vehicle finance or the MSME, etc., except digital personal loan, which we have slowed down the ticket size, etc. So all these will improve. Regarding PCR, we continue with the same old policy, whatever is the requirement. We continue without any change in the policy.
Yeah, our PCR is low because the main book is with a negligible credit cost. For other portfolios, we consider the ECL model, and enough provision is carried in our financials.
Okay, but as your proportion of the other businesses increase, your ECL model would require, on a blended basis, would require higher provisioning on your standalone book.
Yeah. Right? So if you see the vehicle finance book, that is almost a 8-year-old book. And based on our historical losses, even during COVID, all those things we factored in our ECL model. See, the GNPA itself is 2.6%. On that, if we apply the LGD, that will be the ultimate credit cost. So, and 2.6% NPA is only 70-80 crore. On that, we are carrying enough provision.
Okay. Would you be able to share the LGD on the BSD?
LGD, this is very complicated in the sense each portfolio we are done separately. So this is ranging between 20 to 35%, and for the unsecured book it will be 65%, like that.
Okay, understood. This is very helpful. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead. Shripal, sorry, but your voice is breaking. Can I request you to come in a better reception area? Shripal, sorry, but your voice is still breaking. I'll request you to rejoin the queue or redial. The next question is from the line of Bunty Chawla from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. One data point, if you can share. Sorry, I missed that part. What was the auction of the gold loan during this quarter?
124 crore.
Okay. Secondly, if it is possible, what was the queries from the SEBI on the IPO or on the Asirvad IPO? Were it has been completely resolved, because of which we have got delayed some part?
So all the queries from SEBI have been answered to a week or to their satisfaction. It has been answered, and we are awaiting a positive response from.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Agrawal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for allowing me this follow-up. I'm just kind of circling back to this cost of borrowing question, which has come a couple of times in this earnings call. I think what you suggested is that we've already seen almost 19-20 basis points increase in cost of borrowings. But just trying to understand this cost of borrowing increase, I'm sure this will not be applicable to your HFC business or the HFC subsidiary, right? So,
I mean, is the risk weight circular alone kind of contributing to this cost of borrowing increase and maybe a similar increase as you suggested in the fourth quarter as well? Or are there some other elements or other drivers of the increase in cost of borrowings that you are envisaging in the next quarter?
HFC, we are expecting the cost to remain flat because we are getting funding from NHB. So we expect that to go up. So that will help us to maintain the rate without any increase.
Yeah, on the risk weight circular, on other financials, it will not have much impact because majority of the portfolio is exempt from that. But the bank lending to NBFC, irrespective of the rating, it has gone up. So the immediate reaction is increasing cost of borrowing. So that is the reason it has gone up. Things are changing. Availability is not an issue. But cost still not reversed.
But now, intuitively speaking, given that risk weights have been increased by 25%, I mean, at best, cost of borrowing should have gone up by 25 basis points only, right? And that too on your bank borrowings. So the actual blended impact on the cost of borrowing should have been lower than 25 basis points. Or is there any other way to look at this?
Combined with the other unsecured lending or tightening of liquidity, etc. So I think the lenders will make use of the opportunity to increase the cost, and initial reaction was at least I think they started 50 basis points for the rollover. Slowly it is coming down, and the other thing, we are doing term loans, ECBs, and our maturity profile also improving. That is also a reason, but immediate increase is on account of this circular.
And banks are also not loading up the pulley because there also there is competition.
Thank you. Abhijit, I'll request you to come back for a follow-up question. Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my question was pertaining to the gold loan disbursement. So I think that number was not mentioned. So if you can just say that for this quarter and for 9 months, FY24.
So in the quarter, we are discussing this quarter, we did around 26,190 crore, and last quarter we did around 25,793 crore.
Okay. And coming back to the earlier participant's question on cost of fund, so what is the overall cost of fund impact that we are likely to see because of the circular? That is question number one. And question number two is, what is the overall impact on the capital adequacy? Because we also have vehicle loan as part of the portfolio. So is there any impact on the capital adequacy because of the same?
Vehicles loans also exempt from this. So the small portion of our personal loan only will have impact, and given our higher capital adequacy, this is I think less than 50 basis points impact on the CRAR. It's very negligible. Still our CRAR is about 30%.
Right.
And on the cost of borrowing, one is this immediate increase on account of the circular, and we are doing ECBs and term loans. The proportion of term loans also increasing, and these are the reasons for increasing cost of borrowing.
Ma'am, what will be the overall cost of borrowing like impact? Like while this quarter is 19 basis point, next quarter you said it will be another. But have we done any working as to what will be the overall impact? Like will there be any further, or all of it will get repriced? I understand 52% is must be linked to 3 month MCLR or 1 month MCLR on the term loan side?
We expected a reduction by the time the circular came. So we are not seeing a reversal trend. So that is the reason our expectation is a further increase in this quarter, 10 to 20 basis points increase. Because we are not seeing the CP market also, the pricing has not come down.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pratik Tandil from Swan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I would like to know about the branches. So yeah, the FY 2021, 2022, 2023, since the branches were at 3,524 and we had restrictions, I wanted to know on the visibility of net branch expansion in the coming quarters. So could you give some guidance on that?
So we have applied to RBI in the past. One problem we faced was the surplus in auction remaining at around 48 crores. They told us to bring it down and that shall be no acquisition. Now we have achieved that it has come down to nearly 20 crores. It is going down and we had some discussions with the regulators and we hope we'll get permission in the very near future. We had applied for 300 branches and we hope we'll get permission for this.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Agam from Flute Aura. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Most of my questions were answered. I just have one question. What is our CET1 ratio currently, standalone and of Ashirvad?
Which ratio?
CET1.
Tier 1 in the standalone, it is the full Tier 1 only. And in subsidiary, 18.5 Tier 1.
Okay, and thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. V.P. Nandakumar for closing comments.
So, thank you for that support and cooperation. We expect the support from your side. Any more information what can be disclosed, we are happy to share with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Nirmal Bank, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.